Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello everyone. If you're just tuning in, this is Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome. You're about to hear another episode of the series called Faith That Functions. Today we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 1 to 10. This is the text for the third Sunday after Epiphany. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. The ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. When he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Old Testament reading for today takes us to a remarkable and beautiful event. All the people of God are assembled and attentive as they hear the Torah of Moses read. Listen again and hear about this happy and holy occasion. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands and bowing their heads and worshipping the Lord with their faces to the ground. Let us then bow our heads in prayer. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. How do we explain this spontaneous delight in Moses' words? How could the reading of the first book of the sacred scriptures bring immediate worship and confession of the Lord as God? Can you imagine such a reaction in our day? When the scriptures are read in public or in worship, how do people in our day respond? Is it with the same joy and reverence? Indeed, what is our response?
Let me suggest that sacred scripture should at least be as captivating and exciting as it was for Ezra's audience.
Why? Because the content of scripture is so wonderful and so true. Here, God tells us how things really are, and through his self-disclosure, all of humanity is invited into a rich relationship with him. We'll let Moses' words make the foundational and beautiful point. Reflect as you hear portions of the beginning of Moses' book of Torah, the account of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God made two great lights, the greater lights to rule the day and the lesser lights to rule the night and the stars. God sent them out in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The prevailing epics in the cultures that surrounded Moses, Egypt, Greece, Mesopotamia, and Palestine, described creation in a very different way. They viewed the sun, moon, stars, sea, and a host of animals as gods who controlled events on earth. In their epics, human beings were simply not significant. The gods determined the course of history, and men and women would simply have to suffer the consequences of their supposed preferences. However, as we've seen, Moses begins his book with a very different claim. that man and woman are the apex of creation, the very crown of God's creative labors, not mere accidental furniture to be moved about by demigods or chance. Moses composes an infinitely beautiful description of God's loving care in shaping all of creation for the benefit of man and woman. Now the sun and the moon are good forces from God's hand to serve humanity with alternating light and darkness. They are not gods dominating creation or demanding sacrifices of human beings in homage to their power. Moreover, God took special care in the formation of Adam and Eve. They alone were made in His image. God formed Adam from the dust of the ground like a potter shaping his pot. That's an important point to make. Man wasn't formed from the dust in that man came from the ground like the animals came from the ground. No. That's just the poetic way that God puts it. Yes, man was made from the dust, but God made man from the dust as in He took the dust and He formed it specifically like a potter forms clay. That's the point. And in similar attentive fashion, Eve was formed from the rib of Adam into a perfect companion. She didn't evolve from his rib, she was taken from Adam's rib. What a wonderful word for Ezra's audience. What a wonderful word for us. We live in a culture where many have re-mythologized the sun and moon and galaxies. Powerful and prestigious voices suggest that human beings are simply accidents. Many in our day are convinced that all of us will simply be absorbed into the cold, dark cosmos and be no more. In such a context, how beautiful Moses' words are. They are reason to be attentive and full of joy. So with the people of Ezra's time, it is our calling to say Amen and to worship God for how wonderfully He has made us. We are called to live before Him and tend the world that He created for us. We're not to only protect but cultivate the institutions of God, such as male and female couples. Ezra's people, hearing God's word read to them that day, also learned again that God had not abandoned them, His chosen nation, even though Adam and Eve had turned away from God into self-absorption with the will to become like God, even though by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil they had chosen not to be His innocent creatures in a perfect and beautiful world, God still had not left them. Generation after generation, God continued to invite His people to return to life before and with Him, and He still does. He did in Ezra's day, and He still does for you and for me. We hear afresh about the promise of the woman's seed, who would reverse the curse and consequences of Adam and Eve's rebellion. We hear how that promise came to fruition in God's gracious plan of deliverance through the Messiah. But it first had to be passed down through the descendants of human beings. In the first few rounds of giving birth, Adam and Eve were probably excited that this next child might be the promised deliverer. There was Cain, then Abel, then Seth, but none of them were he who was to redeem the world. And then before too long, they're counting hundreds of sons, but none are born Emmanuel. And over the years, even the promise is forgotten, and men and women forget to be excited about the birth of a child, at the chance he may be the savior of the world. In fact, not only do they forget, but the world is so wicked the Lord wipes out the earth short of one family in whom the hope of the Messiah and the human race lives on, through Noah. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we will continue with more on what it is for God to fulfill His promise through the ages of providing His people with a Savior. We will know what it is to delight in God ourselves. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Gordon Naumann, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about how the Lord has blessed his children and all creation abundantly, and so we have much of which to be thankful. The children of Abraham knew it, Ezra knew it, and you and I know it. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. And so it began again, after Noah, the counting. Will my child be the Messiah? How long will it be before God's chosen people forget about the Savior and fall into carnal sin again? Unfortunately, not too long. But God does not go almost to the brink of wiping out all creation again this time. This time, the children of God must suffer at the hands of those who do not believe by sharing the world with them. Other empires rise and fall, but God does not forget his promise. People think he has, but he hasn't. Seth begets Shem, who begets Abraham, and we have our first father. The children of Abraham end up in Egypt, and life is not easy because God did not wipe out the infidel. They leave the land gritting their teeth. But by keeping these non-believers as well as his children, God shows them in more than one way the nature of his salvation for them. Abraham, having begot Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, their descendant Moses, with the hand of God, delivers his people to the promised land. God's glory dwells among them. A tabernacle was created and moved among them. Even the sacrificial system was instituted with its attendant priesthood to provide the forgiveness for the people's failings and sins. Why? To remind them that God was and is their Savior. Ezra's people were also privileged to hear Moses' invitation at the very end of his book to return to God. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Yes, at first this seems like some recital of the law, but actually what was being conveyed at the time was a history lesson. They were being reminded that God had indeed given them the land just as he had promised, as we remember from the book of Joshua. This word was very meaningful in that they were able to look over the last few centuries and see how they were in the hand of God all along, and that they were going to receive his promise still. They were able to return to their land, having experienced what would be their first bout with a tyrannous ruler. Looking back at the past and knowing that life has its ups and downs, King David captures this feeling perfectly in his 126th Psalm. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And so we too can see afresh what good news came through the reading of Moses' Torah, Moses' set of five books. Again, the psalmist captures even the feelings of Ezra's faithful hearers. In Psalm 19, we hear this good word from the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Indeed, as Ezra's people listened and worshipped, they were surrounded by gracious gifts, signs of God's abiding presence with them. They had what we call the Second Temple, Zion's restoration and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. God had brought his children home after decades of exile. What a story. What a message. What wonderful and beautiful truth. And we have even more to look back on. The great thing for you and for me is that we too are a part of this true and wonderful story. Our sinful situation is not unlike theirs. We live in a culture that devalues and reduces human significance. Some of our most prestigious universities are dominated by those who regard human beings as but an accident in the aimless evolutionary process of the cosmos. They reinvest the sun, moon, stars, and galaxies with power that they do not have, as if they were the deities that determine our futures, just the way the ancient pagans saw them. In such a context, you and I have every reason to say amen, amen to Moses' Torah, to Moses' words, to God's word. We have every reason to join Ezra in worshipping the true God, who not only created us in a wondrous fashion, but now also comes to each of us in mercy and love, in the definitive fulfillment of all he promises. He comes in the gift of his very Son, Jesus, the woman's seed, promised ever since Adam and Eve's first sin. The brilliance of this reality is unveiled in the Epiphany season, in which the light of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension drives out the darkness that reduces human beings to a mere material accidental status. Jesus spoke, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8. Jesus, the second Adam, fully displayed the wonder and beauty of human nature by becoming a man. As the second Adam, he delighted in doing his Father's will. His life displayed a profound affection and love for every human being as he invited each one of us to repentance and life with God. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Luke 15. Reflect with me on that passage for one last moment. God is so invested in us that not a single one of us, not a single human being, should feel unloved or insignificant. Our repentance, our turn to God, causes rejoicing among the angels. Moses' words thrilled and restored the people in Ezra's day. They thrill and restore us too, for they point us to God's saving gift of himself in his Son. The sacred scriptures of Christ bring us to delight in God. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk
and stay tuned.
All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.